Your journey begins. The spiritual guide on 95BFM, thanks to Glengarry Wines.
Indeed, thank you, Jean-Michel Jarre, for skadooshing us into this spiritual guide. This is kind of the first official one with a sting.
Yeah, that's awesome, thank you.
Welcome, well, Tonchi, how are you?
Cheers, good man, really good. Looking forward to having a second night of rums in a row.
We're going to Rumtown, and yeah. I made sure that you didn't bring any Bundaberg. I'm going to come out and say the Bundaberg, Australians, oh, let us rejoice. Bundaberg is the worst rum ever made in the history of rums. Yes, worse than Captain Morgan. Yes, worse than Blackheart. I don't know why Bundaberg's a thing. There, that's all I have to say
about
Bundaberg.
Well, it's great that you've got that off your chest.
Well,
I'm
just
sure
feel like we need
some...
to talk about it a bit more. Just because it's got a cute polar bear on it doesn't mean it's a good rum. You know? Just leave it alone.
Love it. It's probably not the most premium sort of rum available on the market.
But you have bought premiums with you. I do recognise the name Mount Gay. Fantastic rums. They do a good golden sort of stuff, eh?
Yeah, so I mean, Mount Gay is one of the original branded rums. In fact, it dates back to 1703. It's the first bottled rum.
Holy hell, okay.
With a D dated
Imagine
back.
What that bottle looked like, by the way. Oh, it was quite...
To be honest, it'd probably just be a pretty wobbly looking thing. It would have been hand blown. It would be thick and thin in different pieces. So it was 1703 when it was first bottled. It has a deed showing that, but I think rum itself was probably first distilled around the mid 1600s, so 1645, 1650.
What's the spawn off? Like, how did that happen? Is it a cute, like, champagne monk story, or is it?
Well, it's more around pirates and sailors, really.
That's good.
Yeah, as you'd kind of expect. Essentially, it was. If you consider, sort of, I suppose, the Caribbean during that period, there was a lot of the European settlement coming through regarding the Dutch, the French, the Spanish, and the English. Mm. And most of them were using the islands to grow sugarcane.
That's right.
As sugar was taking off in terms of popularity for Europe. And off the back of that, I suppose, we ended up with something not so great, which is slavery.
True.
On the other side, we ended up with something fantastic, rum. Shit trade-off, but, you know, I'll take the rum.
Right on.
Yeah, so you end up with, essentially, molasses as a byproduct of creating sugar crystals.
Okay.
And so by boiling sugarcane juice, you end up with a crystal and then also, like, a black syrupy, tarry kind of, you know, blackstrap molasses, which you've probably seen in your mum's pantry used for baking. And that used to just be thrown away. They used to just pour it into the sea. And the slaves wouldn't want to waste too much, so they started fermenting it and created essentially a beer-like beverage, like a sugar beer. So they'd ferment it, and it'd probably be fermented up to about 9% alcohol.
Some of the best stuff is created via restrictions. That's just like a life. That's humans are awesome like that.
I mean, I think one of the best things about looking back through society is pretty much every single civilization had a form of alcohol.
Mm-hmm.
It's like we're just drawn.
Everyone's trying to tap out, man.
And everywhere you go, they're all trying. Like every government's trying to put a legislation behind it, right, or some kind of, you know, restriction on. You look at prohibition in the States, and that worked terribly. But you know, it's been part of our lifestyle for, you know, millennia.
I've heard interviews on it, and obviously a lot of it had to do in different parts of history with just having something clean to drink, you know, so you have to just, you know, brew a beer or distill something.
Yep.
So what you're drinking is kind of safe to drink, you know, you're not gonna,
yeah, there is parts of it. Most of it comes to when you're starting looking at parts where people were settling in much larger numbers in a small amount of space, right, and we didn't really have, I suppose, the technology or the knowledge to, you know, not sure where you're getting drinking water from.
I want to say waste not, want not as well. That used to be before it was a saying, it was a lifestyle.
Yeah, so and I mean, at the end of the day,
we need to get back to that.
Well, creating, going through fermentation is a method of preserving. Mm. Essentially, it's like pickling something.
Mm. And you've got three rum selections here.
Yes.
Is it, what's this one? I'm trying to catch the colour of this one here. Is that quite a clear one?
I drank most of it on the way here, so there's very little for
us. You were holding up really well.
So we'll start with the Mount Gay XO, and then we'll rock through into the Eldorado 12-year-old.
Are these rums so great that we can sort of sip on them without having to mix them with anything, or is that quite, like, if I put a Coke with that, would you be like, can you please leave? Big honey.
I'd probably ask you not to if it was my rum.
Yeah. Okay.
But with your rum, I wouldn't.
Okay, so we're top shelf rumming right now. That's
I bought us a glass, didn't bring any Coke.
Right on.
No Coke inside.
Yeah, no, all good.
So all these are sipping ones. I mean, the Mount Gay I think it's the cheapest out of all of them, and that's $70 a bottle.
Nice.
So essentially these are ones that are around the same as like entry level single malt whiskey.
I feel like if you can sip on a rum, it's good rum. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
That's when it's...
Why would I go rum over whiskey?
Oh, John. Because pirates, John.
Yeah. I mean, I can't answer that question because I spring from one to the other. Mm-hmm.
You wouldn't, okay, so that's the answer. You wouldn't, John.
No, that's quite a difficult one to answer. Personally, it was quite funny because I've run these rum classes the last couple of weeks.
What's this one? What have we got here? What's happening right now?
This is the Mount Gay we're starting with. But it's been quite interesting. A lot of guys that have come to the two rum tastings I've done recently haven't liked whiskey. And so they've been like, they were the first time they'd ever come to one of our Glengarry tastings or events. Because they wouldn't come to the whiskey ones, which we always run, but rum was something different. And they were asking for things like, can we do some more tequila ones and some of the other brown spirits, aged spirits, but they don't like whiskey. So I don't know if it's something, I mean, in terms of, you know, rum, you've got a little bit more sort of toffee caramel sweetness coming through, not as dry sort of palate weight.
Right.
Compared to a whiskey, so maybe it's people that tend to prefer
I feel like
sweeter.
It's a little bit more of a cuddle comes with rum, if I could say that.
I love that.
You know what
That's
I mean?
That's great.
So Mount Gay are claiming to be like the first rum, 1703 established, or are they just talking about rum at that point? What, it says 1703 on there.
Yeah, so 1703 was the year that they can actually trace back to a signed deed showing a, I believe it was a purchase for rum under the word Mount Gay rum.
Far out, okay.
So... From memory, you'd look at, say, probably one of the next few big brands coming out would be Appleton's, which everyone sort of knows.
Yeah, that's nice.
From memory, that's around the mid-1700s, so you're looking about 30, 40 years after Mount Gay.
This XO Mount Gay is totally doable. I'm sipping.
So this is a blend of rum, so it's not an age statement. Mm. It's the blend is between 8 to 15 years old.
Right.
It's got a mix of rums that have been distilled in both column still and pot still. So a pot still is literally like a kettle. You pour your liquid in, you heat it up.
Right.
At this stage, it's say at 9-10% alcohol. You heat it up at to about 75 degrees and the alcohol evaporates off first.
Yes.
And you're left with essentially water and other bits and pieces. That's whatever's left in there.
Mm-hmm.
A column still, instead of being like that, which is batched, so you'd empty it and refill it. A column still, you're just constantly pouring in the liquid. As it comes in, it gets super heated and a
does
huge
it go
long.
Around like a big tube? Science.
Pretty much. It's like huge column that's got a whole lot of
and
plates,
at the end,
like metal
plates. Mousetrap game, and then someone gets trapped in.
As it gets poured in from the top, and as it comes down, it gets super heated and turned into mist on the way down.
Yep.
And then the vapor rises again up the side of the liquid and then gets funneled off into different plates. It's really hard
fucking
to explain.
Science, man.
Especially for listeners who can't see my hand movements. That must be real difficult to understand. I'm looking like a T-Rex over here.
Would it be a fair assessment to say that this is kind of a fruity rum?
Very much so. For me, I find it's like lots of coconut vanilla, but then off the back of that, there's a lot of banana.
Okay, I didn't realize I didn't realize there was a whole supermarket at our disposal. We were just describing
it, man.
For me, it's like a... No, sorry, I don't have anything.
Go on.
We've had a text come in saying, try Waiwera rum. Apparently straight with ice is the best ever. Have you had that's actually up around sort of my area as well.
I haven't had it. We've got them in store, but I haven't had a chance to try them.
Oh, interesting.
You're a no ice person though, aren't you? Are you a purist?
Yeah. I mean, like I've said, I suppose, a few times, I'll never tell someone how to drink it.
Yeah, hey,
drink
if you're at someone's joint, it's like their buzz.
Yeah, I mean,
moment, kind of.
Yeah, I mean, I'd probably ask for, I mean, save the ice for your next drink, don't put it in mine. The only reason being, the moment you drop the temperature of a spirit, you lose all of the aroma.
Yeah.
And so it becomes easier to drink in a lot of ways, it becomes more palatable.
Mm.
But for me, I lose the nuance of what that spirit has.
Mm-hmm.
But also ice dilutes it, but it dilutes it ongoing.
Yes.
So there's a level of...
So if you feel the need to ice, maybe look at the product you're working with.
Well, not necessarily. I mean, if you're wanting ice for the fact that have it bring it down.
I stand corrected. I'm just going to have a sit down, though, because I've just had a run.
But, I mean, if you're using ice for the fact of cooling your spirit to make it like that's what you like, then I'd probably look at doing whiskey stones, which don't dilute.
I'm more about taking the front foot off the ice, so even just a bit of, like, maybe just tap warm water.
Yep.
Yeah, that's okay.
And this if you're going down for more of a dilution, which is essentially just dropping the ABV and making the alcohol not as prevalent.
Yeah, yeah. Because I'm just, my discipline is shocking, so I get a little bit sippy, you know, especially in a nervous sort of public environment, and then I feel like...
Is that why that rum's already finished?
Well,
like,
yeah.
Am I making you nervous?
Both of the rums are gone. I am curious about this Eldorado 12.
Yeah, so the first one, just before I finish, we're in Barbados at that stage. So we're about to sort of head over onto Central, or I suppose it would be more Central than Southern America, which is Guyana. This one here's the...
Can you actually close that and then reopen it close to the microphone? Right on.
Anyone's heard of Muscovado sugar or Demerara sugar?
Nope.
Demerara sugar is... Yes.
Dan's nodding.
Yeah. See, mate, we've had so many cocktails with Demerara sugar in it. Like
really?
the caramelly coloured
one. Yeah, so essentially it's like the epitome of brown sugar. It's that real thick. It comes, like when you get in a packet, it's like stuck together in clumps.
Yeah.
That all comes from Guyana. So it's the Demerara River, and the sugar's all growing up either side of the banks.
Oh, wow.
And this rum's made from sugar from that same area.
Cute little bottle.
It's a nice pirate bottle. So for this one here, we're moving to, instead of being a blend of ages and a non-age statement, we're moving to a 12-year-old, so it means the minimum age of the rum inside this bottle.
I'm swishing it around.
Oh, this is...
I don't know that I need to.
There is far more caramel on the nose.
Yeah. I mean, I think that comes from
the sugar
source.
You're getting real confident, John. You're getting real confident in this rum business now.
Well, I'm just saying what I'm smelling. Smell it.
Do you, man? No, it's good, man.
Caramel. Hey, golden syrup.
Look, can everyone just give me a minute? Caramel.
So both these two rums so far have been aged. I mean, actually all three of them are all aged in ex-bourbon casks. So I don't know if you remember from the very first whiskey tasting I did with you guys, talking about the different styles for whiskey, and we had the bourbon. And bourbon tends to have real coconutty vanilla as its real sort of key indicators as a flavour.
Right.
And a lot of that comes from the way the whiskey's made, from the corn and its process, but also from the fact that it goes into brand new, unused charred American oak. In bourbon, they're only ever allowed to use that barrel once, so once they've used it, essentially it's like a waste product. So they sell it out. It's actually cheaper for a rum distillery to buy a bourbon cask than it is to get a new cask made.
Mm-hmm. This Eldorado is a lot sweeter, I'll say that. Is that the caramel that you're getting, John?
Yes. Yeah,
we should hang out. What are you doing later on? Nothing.
Okay, this is... I mean, do they normally cruise for 12 years in the rum world? That's quite old, isn't it?
Yeah, so the...
Nobody says cruise, but yep.
They call... In rum, they call it either continental or Caribbean.
Ooh.
Aging. And the difference is the environment that the spirit is being aged in. Through most of the Caribbean, you're looking at quite high temperatures. So
on the equator.
Yeah, so it's pretty damn hot. So you get a lot more evaporation, and evaporation is what creates the... essentially boosts the maturation process in that barrel. Mm. So if you look at a barrel that's been aging in Scotland, for example, would be probably losing between 2-3% of its volume in a year.
Right.
In the Caribbean, they're more between 9-10%. So...
And would that reduce and get the colour a little bit darker as well, kind of thing?
It does exactly that. So essentially every time the heat makes the liquid expand, so it expands into the barrel that it's in, and then as it cools down, it gets pulled back out of it.
Ah, so it's kind of like forces itself and like it gets the wood out of the barrel even more.
Yeah, so...
John, I'm learning! Are you watching me learn? This is exciting stuff.
So in the Caribbean, you tend to get the maturation process happens a hell of a lot quicker. But at that stage, that evaporation's also create, like, alcohol itself is what it's evaporating the most out of that liquid.
Right, right.
So the alcohol level drops. So most, say, like a scotch that's been aged for some time will go into the barrel around 63.5% alcohol. And if you age it for too long, it will come out close to sort of 42%, like close to what bottling is.
Right.
Do you think, I mean, obviously the Eldorado is, for me, winning at the moment, but it's 40% and the Mount Gay is 43. Do you think that the extra sting in the Mount Gay tail might be making a bit...
Time spent? Is that
harder to...
Be probably
not that it's hard to drink, but do you think that 3% would be going,
It'd probably give you a little bit sharper mouthfeel on the tongue. That and the fact that, like I said before, it's a blend of ages. This has got to be at least 12 years old, so it's had quite a lot of maturation.
That
really does
so
turn the head
smooth.
Up. Whereas the Mount Gay's got 8-15, so you've got a lot more younger, fresher style, which is why it hasn't got that caramelly sort of.
Damn it, John caramel. Totally fucking nailed it.
It's a hard word to say.
We need to have a meeting before we come in here and I'll get some trigger words and then just say the right thing. Hey, can we talk about these glasses and the next rum as well? Like, what is it important that we're drinking out of these style glasses? Is that why you bought these? They're kind of like they're a big bottomed, and then they go into like a nice skinny little waist.
So these are the ones I bought in when we tried the whiskies for World Whiskey Day. Right. So they're Glencairn. They're actually whiskey glasses.
Okay. Suck it. Right in your face, whiskey, by the way.
There are people that make rum-specific glasses, and they're very similar in shape. So, okay. I mean, I don't see the point in...
Look, I'm really sorry I brought it up.
I mean, I just don't see the point in buying another set of glasses when you've already got one that's so similar. In regards to these glasses here, the shapes are kind of like, well, I think I said last time, it's like kind of like a tulip. It's like like a flower bud. And essentially, it's giving the spirit a little bit of time to, or space to evaporate, or like sort of lift up the aromatics up into the glass, and then it tightens it right in.
Yes.
So it sort of traps it. Which means that when you put your nose there, it's all
right into the schnauz.
Given a bit of space to breathe, and then it's been dialed into where you are, nice. Which is essentially what that shape is. A rum glass would essentially be a slightly slimmer profile.
Okay.
But very, very similar.
All right.
One thing on the El Dorado, which I think blows my mind, is the they used to have about 350 different distilleries for rum in Guyana, and they now have one.
Mm-hmm.
But that one distillery, which is El Dorado, or where El Dorado is distilled, has essentially collected all of the best stills from all of those other.
It's strange, it's such a culture. Like, would you say 300? Yeah. How has that been, excuse the pun, distilled down to one distillery?
Have you seen Lord of the Rings?
How did that happen?
To rule them all.
I always fall asleep when I watch Lord of the Rings, even but more so with The Hobbit.
There the distillery is literally like a museum of rum stills. They've got some of the oldest rum stills in the world. They've also got stills that I've never seen anywhere else, which are wooden. So they're actually, rather than being made from copper the entire still, it's a wooden vessel with a copper neck on top of it.
So the rums, so whatever's in there is touching wood? So it's that's all flavour as well.
Yeah, so essentially, I mean, it'll be hard to say exactly what that does because I haven't...
Yeah, that's a variable,
but
right?
But in some ways it would create like almost like a sour batching kind of, or sour mashing sort of style of flavour transfer where flavour from previous batches should be pushed into the new one and you get a little bit more consistency maybe.
Now, what's the last one on the deck? What's the last one? Will we say the best for last?
To be honest,
I reckon the El Dorado. I'm really picking the El Dorado so far for the win. I'm just saying what I feel.
The last one is Don Papa, a 7-year-old, but it's from
Don Papa's pretty good though. Like, I was actually like half the name El Dorado. I was really vibing. Don Papa is real man age.
And it's a 7-year-old that was distilled in the Philippines.
Yeah. Don Papa.
Oh, it's a bit blonder in colour. What can I say that? Yeah, it kind of is.
Yeah. It's a nice looking bottle.
I think it's going to be 1 second.
It's a very Italian looking bottle, eh? It's like a...
Oh, it smells... It's quite vanilla.
My mate dropped it on me last week. He reckons it smells like golden circle creaming soda.
Or even just golden syrup in general.
Definitely got that sort of that golden syrup or maple syrup.
Yeah.
There's some notes of... I'm definitely getting pineapple.
Getting like a B flat, John? What are you getting?
But yeah, for me, like the moment my mate said creaming soda, I was like, I can't see past that. Like, damn you. We got, what was the other one the other day? Cola nut.
Oh, yeah.
I can't say I've ever tried a cola nut, so
yeah,
I'll take their
totally
word for
that.
It.
I feel that. Don't know if you heard listening, but I just said, and then drank it.
With all these like comparisons to a soft drink being passed around, it does kind of, not that it's a soft drink, but I'm getting these flavors like a lot sweeter.
Yes, definitely. Yeah. I mean, and I suppose that comes down to the fact that, you know, at the end of the day, it's made from sugarcane.
Mm.
I mean, rum itself is mostly 97% of it's made from molasses. There is some made from fresh sugarcane juice, but it's made from a very naturally sweet product to start with. That flavor,
you're gonna get kind of right upset, through. I think, but it kind of reminds you of Mississippi Moonshine a little bit.
Ooh.
I love the smell of this one.
Is that weird? It kind of reminds me of that.
I'm not that delicate. Come on. Jeez.
Yeah, I love the aroma of this one.
But then I'm getting like kind of sort of memories are flashing back now. It's freaking out a little bit.
I'm almost tempted to go back to an El Dorado.
Don Papa, but shout out Philippines. Why is it? Why do they let it cruise down in the Philippines towards the end there? What's the what's the migration path on that? Why did it start? Where did it start?
Yeah, I mean the interesting thing. I mean for me was bringing that one in is the fact that sugarcane itself as a grain or a grass essentially was indigenous to Southeast Asia. So right. That kind of area of the world, it was introduced into the Caribbean when Europe was looking to expand sugar production.
Right on. Yeah.
And the Caribbean's a perfect place for it to grow very fast. So it was kind of like, for me, it's almost like a rum that's from like where the source ingredient really came from
Okay.
They didn't create rum in that part of the world, but they believe that good 3,000 or 4,000 years ago they were drinking distilled fermented beverages from sugar.
You say 3,000 or 4,000 years ago? That's great.
So there was there's I can't remember what they called it, the name of it, because it was like it's like in the Sanskrit language, but or similar, but it was essentially a beer beverage made from sugar, and it dates back that long.
Probably for the reasons that you said, John, just to keep it sterile in the beginning, right? That's sort of,
and to make the campfire a little bit more fun.
Yeah, and just because there's piss all internet back then, it was really hard to
shit service.
Hard to have a scroll with your thumb, wasn't it?
But if I was going to rate them, I would actually probably put the El Dorado and the
Don Papa's blowing my mind the most. I think it's the most zany tasting rum I've probably had in a long time. Like it's not. I would, if I just drank this without like a blindfold test, I wouldn't have called it a rum. I don't know what. I'd just be like, this is some kind of wacky.
I would. They're sort of an even playing field. I thought I could pick a clear winner between the two, but I don't know if I can. But that's what the Don Papa is, really interesting flavor. I think the Mount Gay, well, it was good. I think the other two are definitely...
The El Dorado rules, by the way. That's really
good. The interesting
thing,
both these are about $90 a bottle.
Yeah. Okay.
Whereas that's 70 or 65. So you are sort of stepping up to that next tier.
Yeah.
So
it's nice to know that the money counts or something. Like for me, like I would chuck an extra 20 down and go the El Dorado and really impress my friends.
The El Dorado is literally the one of the rums that gave me sort of my epiphany on rum.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I took a bottle of that home. And at that stage, I'd only really tried a couple of rums, and you know, one of them was pretty shit. I'm not going to name names. You already have. And then I took that home, ripped the scab off it, and just like lost my shit. And then I started reading into it and found out about like the museum of a still system. And for me, that's like, you know,
how
that's
old was this
my nerdy shit.
Was this a young little?
Nah, I mean rum's a new sort of adventure for me.
Cool.
Whiskey started much earlier than that. Oh, nice.
All available at Glengarry's, of course.
Yes, in fact, the Don Papa I think we have exclusive supply on.
Nice.
I get the feeling that this is it's probably got a rich history, but I feel like it's
Is that guy got like an eyeglass?
Sorry. If I let you in on a secret, I don't believe he's a real person.
It's quite androgynous. It could be a lady, but it's got a moustache. Oh my god, there's a cute little possum. Look at the little possum in the scarf, John. Are you looking at what I'm showing you?
Hey, so anything on the cards? Glengarry? Glengarry's in the next couple of...
We got, I think, two malt clubs coming up. So back to sort of whiskey. We haven't got any other spirit tastings really coming up at the moment. Big one is Bastille Day, which is next Saturday, a French celebration. So if you're in the area, drop down to one of our stores. We'll probably have champagne open for tasting. And I believe we've got a big sale on for our French wines down at the Victoria Park store. But in terms of the spirit side, we've got the Isle of Arran, which is a single island, single distillery tasting coming up, which is in 3 weeks' time.
Cool. Hey, well, Tonchi, thank you so much for coming in.
What a treat.
Delicious selection.
I feel like I'm just going to go home and have a sleep, though.
Same here.
Head along to Glengarry and get yourself some of this.
Thank you for having me.
Cool, mate.
Carry on your way. That was The Spiritual Guide on 95 BFM, thanks to Glengarry Wines.